Well, good morning and Merry Christmas to all of you. How many of you have already had a great time today here at Three Circle Church? Thank you so much for spending your Christmas Eve morning with us. If you're a guest, and I know we have many, my name is Chris Bell, and I'm the pastor here along with this amazing team that we're here to serve you, and we hope that you're having a great Christmas. Our theme this year at Christmas here at Three Circle has been the idea of a simple Christmas. Now, if you're like me, the words simple and Christmas don't even really go together anymore, right? How many of you understand that Christmas is more complex now than it's ever been? And some of you, how many of you, be honest this morning, how many of you still have stuff you got to go buy today? You got to go do it. Just raise your hand. How many of you are hoping that a package is going to make it, right, on time? You know, it's tough. And it's changed a lot. I don't know if you what it was like when you were a kid, but, you know, I'm 40, so, you know, I remember Christmas in the 80s and early 90s, right? And I don't know, like, today when a kid gets a swing set, it's like, man, I mean, you could tie yourself to during a tornado and survive, because these things are like beams and these big, beautiful swing sets. Man, I got a swing set one for Christmas. How many of y'all remember the ones that are just some little metal poles in the ground? Y'all remember those? And then when you'd swing on it, the pole would come up out of the ground? Know what I'm talking about? How many of you are my people out there? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, hands go up all over the room. So we want to get simple. Let's get simple again. And that's why we have this manger sitting on all the stages at Three Circle this year, because it really is about a manger. It's simple. It's simple. Maybe one of the greatest toys of all time, one of the most simplistic toys of all time, I actually brought out here with me, because how many of you know that you can get all the technology and cool presents in the world and your kids are still going to pick these up and beat each other with them, right? How many of you know this is the greatest Christmas toy of all time? What's awesome about it is you can be violent with this and actually not hurt anyone too bad, right? And my favorite thing to do when I was a kid is wait for someone to turn it into a telescope, and as soon as it hits their eye, pop the other end of it as hard as I could right there. It's some of you are like, I never thought of that, right? These things are incredible. They're great to, like, if you have a dog, you know, it drives them nuts. So, like, go right up to the dog and kind of, hello, right? You could just do a lot. How many of you kids in the room love when your mom's done wrapping presents and you get one of these? Let me hear the kids in the room. Just raise your hand. Yeah. We love it. It's what we call a simple Christmas. So what is the most simplistic thing about Christmas? Well, we're gonna look at that a little bit today. And before I do, though, I know we have a lot of kids in the room, and I'm a dad, and dads tell jokes. Dads tell bad jokes. And I've got some of the worst Christmas jokes I could find, the corniest of the corny, okay? Because I knew there were going to be kids in the room. Kids, would y'all like to hear just a few corny jokes, a few dad jokes? Okay, I need you to laugh. I need you to make me feel better about myself, okay? Here we go. A few bad jokes for you today. Number one, how's the alphabet different on Christmas than any other day? And here we go. On Christmas, it has no L. Get that? I know. Secondly, I told you they were bad. Why didn't Rudolph get a good report card? Why? Well, he went down in history. Thirdly, what are you seeing at an elf's birthday party? I like this one. Furry's a jolly good fellow, Furry's. Tough crowd. How did Scrooge win the football game? The ghost of Christmas passed. You see that? He passed. Okay, we're getting there now. It's a little better. And last, but certainly not least, I like this one. What do you call an elf who has lots of money? You call him wealthy. Yeah, you call him wealthy. Thank you very much, guys. I hope you enjoyed the corny dad jokes today. Yeah, we can have a little fun. I know a lot of you dads, if you want a list of those, I can give them to you later. You can use those later. So today we're going to go to a place in the Scriptures. You heard Pastor Trey, our family pastor, talking about the shepherds. That's kind of our focus today, the shepherds. The shepherds have a lot to say to us, whether we're a child or whether we are elderly here today. We're a multi-generational church here at Three Circles, so we have all age groups here with us. And I want you to know the shepherds have a message for all of us. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to see what it says about the shepherds in Luke 2, 8 through 14. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Now, as you look at the shepherds, I want you to see something today. I want you to see that Christmas is what we would call an arrival that leads to an invitation. Jesus came. The Bible says that he was sent. And this little baby was sent on a mission. And I want us all to be reminded of that today. It was an arrival of God with us. It's why he was called Emmanuel. He was also called Jesus because that word means Savior. And if this little baby was born to save, what that means is that we must have needed a Savior. And the good news of the gospel, and by the way, if you want to know what the gospel is, when I say gospel, it's what the angels called good news. They said, we're bringing you good news. What is the gospel? Is the gospel a way for us to have a better life? Is the gospel news that we can improve? Is the gospel news that next year can be better than last year? None of those things are bad things, but none of those things are the gospel. The gospel is the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The good news is this baby came and he was no ordinary baby. He was God with us, and the work he would do for us, what he would accomplish for us, would be that he would take our place and pay for our sins and reconcile us to God when we place our faith in him. That is good news. That's the news we celebrate today. We don't celebrate that our lives can improve today. We celebrate that our lives can be transformed. And today it is an invitation. I want you to understand today, just like the shepherds, we are invited. It's amazing when you look at it. One of the most stunning things about Christmas is who God spoke to first, as Trey pointed out, the shepherds. Out of all the people, it's stunning how he came in a stable in a manger where the animals were. He's the richest king to ever live, and yet he came as the poorest. He's the most powerful king to ever come, yet he came as the most humble and vulnerable. And also, he is the most renowned king of all time, and yet he delivers his initial news of arrival to the lowest level of people in the social sphere of his day. See, we have turned shepherds into heroes. We sing about them, and I think we've got this idea that they're these cute little people hanging out in the fields, and they were wonderful people. But shepherds during Jesus' day were considered the lowest of the low. They weren't to be trusted. They were considered lazy often. If you were an adult and you were a shepherd, it meant you couldn't do anything else. It meant you had failed at everything else, so you had to just kind of land in a field with a bunch of sheep. Shepherds were so distrusted that you could not use their testimony in court. Think about that. So let's say something happened to you, and you went, you know what, I got an eyewitness that can help me. And it's a shepherd. They would say, yeah, that doesn't work. Can't believe a shepherd. That's how low shepherds were. Trey pointed out that they were stinky. It's true, they were. Because they slept out in the fields with their sheep. They couldn't leave them. That's why you have these shepherds in the middle of the night out there with sheep. These were Bethlehem shepherds, which meant they were raising the lambs that would be used in the sacrifices in Jerusalem, which was right next door. Okay, Jerusalem was the metropolitan area. It'd be kind of like Fairhope to Mobile, okay? So you've got these shepherds raising these sheep that will be used in sacrifices, and they're out in their fields and they spend the night with them. In fact, shepherds were so degraded at times they couldn't even worship. They were not invited into temple worship because of their low position. And yet it's the shepherds he comes to first. And it's why I would say the first invitation is to hope instead of hopelessness. I want you to know the first invitation today in Christmas is for you to hope again. And why do we find great hope in the story of the shepherds? Because they, like many of us, probably felt like they had hit a dead end in life. Some of you are here today, you're putting a smiley face on it, it's Christmas time. But many of you are here and you feel like you're not where you wanted to be in life. You feel like you would have been better off at this point. Maybe last Christmas, how many of you are like me and you feel like last Christmas was yesterday? Like, where did that year go? And you had all sorts of plans that you thought would happen this year, but this year didn't go the way you thought. Some of you have lost loved ones this year you didn't expect to. Some of you, your marriage is not where you wanted it to be. It took a path you didn't think it would take. Life has brought things to your doorstep that you didn't expect it to. And here we are. And you feel hopeless. Can I tell you, Shepherds felt that way. Shepherds felt looked down upon. Shepherds didn't feel like they'd accomplished anything in life. They were at a dead end. They're out in the middle of the fields. And I love that God decides to come to them first. And that says forever. The manger, the stable, and the shepherds getting the news first says forever. You don't have to have your act all together for God to love you and show up for you. That's good news. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have my act together. How many of you out here say, I'm with you, man, I don't have my act together either, right? And three people are honest. It's early. I get it. Shepherds. No one respected them. Some of you feel that way. Some of you are not sure. You're going to get through Christmas, but you're not sure how you're going to pay for it. You're not sure what the new year is going to bring. You don't know. You're hopeless. Can I invite you today to hope again? Can I invite you to hope in this truth again? The truth of who this baby is. This for at the manger forever stands as a symbol to you that God loves you and nothing can stop his love for you. And that you can be the lowest of the low and have really messed your life up royally, and this Jesus will still come to you. And that's really good news today. Can I tell you, most of you are trying really hard to have a perfect Christmas tomorrow. I hate to bust a bubble. Not going to happen. Never does it? You'll think you've got it all planned out and there'll be some battery missing tomorrow to mess your whole Christmas up. You ever had that happen? We got triple A, it needs double A. Ah, right? Kids are melting down. You're ready to take the toy and throw it through a window, right? And and don't you love it when your kids open a toy and you've bought the thing? And they pull their little thing off of it that makes the alarms go off in the store. But you get it home, and still they have 14 bolts in the thing, bolting it to the package that it was in. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? So then you're sitting there, and how many of you have ever torn up a toy trying to actually get it out of a package? Anyone? Okay, thank you. There's a few of you. I have. And it just doesn't go the way you wanted it to. Can I tell you? It's okay. Relax. Relax. Because it's all about Jesus anyway. And he's already done the work. And you don't have to be perfect because he was for you. Jesus became a human so that humans could become the children of God. This is an amazing truth. And we see it here. These shepherds are in the middle of their mundane, dirty lives. And God shows up. It is an invitation to hope instead of hopelessness. I love the fact that he comes to them in the field. See, I think many of us think that the only time God shows up is in church, or maybe when I get my life better, maybe when I get in better shape or I get a better job, that then God will do something in my life. But I love the fact that the shepherds see the glory of God in the middle of their mundane, in the middle of their normal, stinky, ordinary lives. God shows up there. He doesn't say, come to the temple and I'll be there. Instead, God says, no, I'm going to come to you. And let me say to all of you today, those of you who are struggling and going through tough things, God shows up where you are. God shows up in chemo labs where people are fighting cancer. He's there. He shows up in children's homes where they're trying to find parents and homes for them to go to. He's there. I've been there. I've seen it. And I've seen God working. He showed up for me in a kids' camp when I was 12 years old. The glory of God in my field, in my life, my little life, God pulls me out of the darkness and brought me to life and saved me. And I'm just telling you today, this Jesus showed up in the middle of our humanity, and he will show up today in the middle of your life, in the middle of your field, the way he did for the shepherds. Right where you are, he will show up. It's also an invitation to sight instead of blindness. It says here that these shepherds saw the glory of God, and they saw a host of angels. I want to help you with what that word means. Because I don't know about you, I grew up, how many of you grew up in a church with a choir? Did any of you have a choir? Kind of like the one we had today. That was kind of what I grew up with, and everyone was always happy in the choir. And I always loved, like, my grandmother and her, she had some friends that were in the choir, and they were always so happy singing in the choir, man. And you know what? Always when I've read this story about a host of angels singing, I always pictured my little choir and my little church that I grew up in. But that's not what this word means. This word host actually means, if you can imagine this, when those shepherds looked up, as far as they could see to the left and as far as they could see to the right across the spans of the universe, it became filled with these angelic beings. And then as far as they could see back, so behind one another, as far as your eye could see out into the distance of the universe, all they could see were billions on top of billions on top of billions on top of billions of angels. It was a scene like you can't imagine. And then all at once, the sky is loaded with angelic beings and they begin to sing. And I'm telling you, it was loud. So those of you like church to be quiet, it wasn't quiet that night. Like that song, Silent Night, I'm sorry, they got that one wrong. It wasn't a silent night. You get 40 billion angels singing, it's going to be loud. Can you imagine that moment? These shepherds would talk about it the rest of their lives. Can you imagine when they were old men and people would say, tell me about it again, man. Tell me about what happened that night. And can you imagine saying, you know, I'll never forget trying to see if I could see the end of the rows of these angels. And it just never ended. And then I would look back up and as far as I could see, they were there. And they began to sing and the power of those voices. And all I know to tell you is that it was the glory of God. That's what we saw that night. In the middle of our fields, in the middle of our shepherding, in the middle of our failures. We're so unworthy, but there it was. Christmas is an invitation to see again. There's a song we like to sing in church that says, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. If you're not careful, you'll blow right through Christmas and not see the glory of it. Could you imagine if the shepherds had never looked up? They could hear the singing, but they never looked up to see it, what they would have missed. And yet we blow through Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, and we never open the eyes of our hearts, and we never lead our children and our families to really behold how incredible this news is. Do you understand that we would have no hope without this incarnation, this coming of Jesus? And I want to invite you again today to see it again. See the beauty of it, the wonder of it. Forget for a minute the package that didn't show up. Forget for a moment whether you've got everything together or not. Forget the pressure you feel about family you're going to see in the next few days. For a moment, would you just stop and see again how amazing it is that the God who created everything came as a human for us. That he wrapped himself in human flesh. Born of a mother that he created. The one who the Bible says was the Word couldn't even say a word. Because he was a child. This is the most stunning story that humanity has ever seen. See it again. Behold it again. It's also an invitation to joy instead of fear. I love that it says here, the angels said to them, do not fear. Did you know that that phrase is used so many times in the New Testament? Do not fear. And the truth is, many of us are afraid. We're afraid about what's going to happen with the government, what's happening with the culture. We're afraid. But the Bible tells us over and over again that because of this, you know, it doesn't just say, don't be afraid. It's kind of like, you know, I don't like heights a lot. And there's this ride at MGM Studios down in Orlando called the Tower of Terror. And my kids love this ride, my son in particular, my oldest son. And I've gotten on that ride so many times with him, and I won't even look the whole time. My eyes are just closed. And he'll look at me, and he'll say, Dad, open your eyes. There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, that's a lie. That is not the truth. Now, I love my son. But he has no basis for what he has told me there. There's no foundation for me to trust there, right? I have plenty of reasons to fear for my life on that ride. I don't know who put it together. I don't know if I'm the one in a billion that it's not going to work for. But this do not fear, when the angel said do not fear, they had a foundation for it. You can trust it. They were pointing back to this. They said, there's a baby that's been born, and because he has been born, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Why were they terrified, by the way? Because they were Jewish shepherds. They knew that if you saw the glory of God, go back into the Old Testament. When if you looked at God, if you saw the glory of God, what would happen to you as a sinner? No, you're done. So these shepherds are thinking, oh, that's awesome. Oh, no, this is bad news, bad news, bad news. We're not worthy. Immediately they're thinking, oh, we're sinners. We can't pay for our sins. We're not good guys. This isn't good. And the angels quickly say, no, 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 things are changing. There's something new about this. This baby has been born and you now have a Savior and you don't have to be afraid anymore. It's really good news. Great preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, used to tell a story about a lady that he went to see who had needs. She was very needy and she had let the church know she had needs. So he went by to see her one day and he knocked on the door and he had money and things that she needed from the church and she never would answer the door. And he was like forever knocking on the windows. He thought, man, I think she's here. Never would answer the door. And she comes to church on the next Sunday. And he said, hey, what happened? I came to your house and I knocked. And she was so embarrassed. And she said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I was afraid that you were the bill collector coming to get the rent. And Spurgeon used to like to say about Jesus, humanity thought that God was showing up to get the rent. And they didn't know that he had come to pay the bill. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore. This Jesus has come to save us. And we need, make no mistake, we need a Savior. Oh, we need Him. And He came. And today we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anything because Jesus has come. The angels are able to say, fear not. We have really good news. The Bible says there's no condemnation. Jesus himself said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to save it. And I think these shepherds had spent their whole life under condemnation until that night. The night they saw the glory of God and heard the message of the gospel. Well, they responded. Luke 2:15 through 20 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known. Now look what's happened here. It just said that the Lord made known to them something, and now they have become the ones making it known. Something has changed. God gave them the news, and now they immediately are making that news known to others. It's how Christianity has always worked. You just can't be silent about it. Pretty amazing. So they make known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Verse 18, and all who heard it, I want you to look at what happened. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. What we see here is also an invitation to proclamation instead of silence. I don't know how you are. If I go to a great restaurant, I'm going to tell everyone about it. If I go have a great steak, I'm going to tell you how great the steak was. Most humans are that way. We tend to tell people. We tend to become advertisers, right? But isn't it interesting that often we're quiet about our faith? People will say, you know what, I'm just very personal and private about my faith. Really? The shepherds weren't. Oh, the shepherd, when people said, hey, we heard you saw something in the field, they didn't say, oh, that's a very private matter. We separate our faith from the rest of our lives. Want to talk about sheep? We'll talk about sheep. Want to talk about how to raise a spotless lamb? We can teach you how to do that. Want to talk about hygiene in the fields? We'll tell you how to just not worry about it because we don't worry about that. But, oh, we're not going to talk about our faith. No, no, that's not how the shepherds did it. The Bible says they began to proclaim. The ones who had had the gospel and the news of the birth of Jesus made known to them now became the ones making it known. And if you're a believer in this room today, that becomes the call. That becomes the heartbeat of our lives, to make this message known, to make the message of hope instead of hopelessness and joy instead of fear, to make that message known becomes the heartbeat, guys, of believers. And then finally, it's an invitation. Christmas is an invitation to respond. We are invited to respond today to this truth. See, Jesus is so amazing, and this story is so amazing, it demands a response. And what we saw here and what we just read are three different responses. First of all, the shepherds went. And you need to understand how the story goes. They went into probably Jerusalem. They went into the surrounding areas and began to tell the people they knew about what they had seen, like any of us would. And it says here that the people who heard them talking about it did something. They wondered. Write it down. The first response we're invited to at Christmas time is the response of wonder. Wonder. What does that mean? It means you stop long enough to think about it. It means you begin to go, wow, what if? Everyone say, what if? What if this is true? What if I really can have hope? What if I really do matter to God? What if that baby really is the Messiah? What if there is a chance that I can be forgiven? What if there is a reason to live greater than just making another dollar and putting food on the table? What if there is more to this life? What if this is true? The Bible tells us that when people heard the shepherds telling the story, they wondered. They began to go, wow, that's amazing. And they began to stop long enough. And today, if you're here and you were invited and you're not sure what you believe about all this, can I invite you to one simple first step? Just wonder about it. Just sit back and ask yourself, what if this is true? What if that guy on stage that looks slightly like Elvis, what if he's not making this up? What if my friends who invited me today actually believe this stuff and it's true? Because if it's true, it changes everything. It changes everything. And I want to invite you today, like the many who heard it, to wonder. Struggle with it. Wrestle with it. Because it's an amazing story. It's a story that changed everything. Let me make real clear to you this. This baby born to peasants, this baby who would never, this child would never walk more than 100 miles. He had never go more than 100 miles away from the place he was born his whole life. Okay? He would never have a bunch of money. He would never be famous worldwide during his lifetime. This now has become just a baby born in a little podunk town called Nazareth, born in Bethlehem and grew up in Nazareth. This baby is now the single most consequential human being to ever live. Ever. And no one denies that. This baby split time into. Your calendars are based on. This is what's crazy. Even if you're a non-believer today, you know your life is affected by Jesus every single day. Can't get away from it. And you didn't know, but starting like in August, you've been singing songs about him because they start playing Christmas music in August. You got to do something with that. Every other world religion tells you that they have the path for you to find God. Every other world religion says, here's how you can work. Here's how you can behave. Here's how you can get yourself to God. Every other world religion except Christianity. Christianity says, you can't get to God, so he came to you. Christianity says, you'll never be good enough, but he was good enough. Christianity alone says, you can never, ever find your way to God, so he has found his way to you. Receive him. It's good news. Believe upon him. Secondly, we see here Mary's response. Mary was a believer. And what does it say she did? She treasured these things in her heart. Can I say to you today, if you're a believer in this room, you need to learn to treasure the truth of the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is. Is this a treasure to you? Are you moved to tears? Are you moved to joy when you think about the truth of Christmas? How about your kids? Are you teaching them to treasure what this is really all about? Are your kids going to treasure the treasures they get tomorrow, or are you teaching them to treasure the truth about who he is? It's so easy to get caught up treasuring the treasure. But today, may I call all of us to do what Mary did? Mary didn't have anything, so she treasured who Jesus was. She treasured the message that he brought. And it was precious to her. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but let me ask you something. Rhetorically, is this message of the gospel a treasure to you? Do you hold fast to it? Oh, hold everything else with open hands. I mean, you're going to spend a bunch of money and already have on stuff that your kids are going to forget about 6 months from now. Hate to hurt your feelings. That toy that you were, this is going to be awesome. That thing's going to be in a closet somewhere, man. Hold that stuff with open hands. They're not bad things. Just hold them with open hands. But my friends today, white knuckle Jesus. Grab onto this truth with everything you have. Mary didn't even have a roof over her head, really, but she had a treasure, and it was who Jesus was. And then finally, we see the response of these shepherds. It all comes back to them today, because I think they represent so many of us. The shepherds don't have their acts together, hadn't made it in life, hadn't done so well, but here they are, the first to see the glory, telling everyone about it. And then they come back to the fields. Can you imagine? They're like out telling everyone, and then one of them goes, "Hey, the sheep, oh no." So they're like running back to the fields. Whoops. They come back, and they get all the sheep back together. And imagine this now. We don't dive in enough. Can you imagine as they're all standing around and they keep looking like, you think they're going to come back? They're looking back up. And then they begin to talk about it. They're going to say, "Guys, it was right here. Remember what it sounded like? Remember what they looked like? Remember what it felt like?" Can you imagine these guys looking at one another going, "Imagine us. Why did he tell us?" I often ask the same question. I look at my life and I think, why would you be so good to me? The question is not, why would God allow anything bad to happen in my life? The question I always ask God is, why would you ever be good to me? I didn't deserve any of it. And if God never does another good thing for me or you, in sending Jesus, he has done everything that we need and he is fully sufficient. So today, we learn from the shepherds. What did they do when they got back to the sheep and they're back in the field? It says they began to glorify and praise God after they returned. They had a little worship service out there in the field. They began to sing and praise and worship God, and that's where I hope we'll all land today. That we will respond to the message of Christmas with worship. That we'll respond by lifting him up and treasuring him in our hearts. And that many of you here today will wonder, you'll stop long enough to actually take this in and think about it. Don't let it just be another Christmas Eve service. I hope that you'll teach your kids to think and wonder and treasure and worship today. Ultimately, Christmas is an invitation to life rather than death. We would have no life. This baby was born to die so that we would have life. And Jesus said he's the resurrection and the life. It's interesting to me when I look at the shepherds. You know, they told everyone they could. They were a lot like candles that had been lit on fire, burning for Jesus. And you know what's interesting about it? You can take a candle and light it, and you can light 100 other candles, and it doesn't hurt that candle a bit to light 100 others, does it? It doesn't hurt the candle that its flame's still going. You can light 200 candles, one little candle, doesn't hurt that candle a bit to light 200 others. That is how the gospel works, and those of us who believe it. We can't be silent. We must live it and tell it, speak it, show it, sing it, praise it, worship it, so that many, many other candles can be lit with the light of Christ. I pray that this Christmas Eve we would truly, truly wonder, that we would truly treasure, and that we would ultimately worship. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for the truth of Christmas, the simplicity, the power of it. Thank you that you loved us enough to come for us. And thank you that you came to shepherds first. You didn't come to kings first. You didn't come to the rich. You didn't come to the famous. You didn't come to the powerful first. Instead, you came to the shepherds. And that gives us hope today. It gives us hope to know that we matter. Hope to know that we don't have to clean up our act before we come to you. We can just come to you today. So thank you, Jesus. On this Christmas Eve, we wonder, we treasure, and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray and sing and worship. Amen.